Calgary guys talking Calgary sports. Pinder and Steinberg are only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by Glenmore Audi.
Okay, question I'm about to ask is going to make at least a section of Flames fans unhappy.
I feel like I'm in this. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm going to be upset.
What section? Okay. 219, 222,
204. Segment. How about a segment of Flames
PL
fans?
PL6.
Here goes anyway. Should the Flames move their first-round pick, number 26 overall, at next month's draft? This is one of those questions that there is a certain group of Flames fans that, or any team's fans, that when you start talking about moving a first-round pick, it instantly becomes taboo. It's like a four-letter word. It's blasphemy. You do not trade first-round picks, especially a Flames team that has only selected in the first round two of the last 4 years. They didn't have a first-round pick or fit in 15 or 18.
Hamilton and Hamonic.
Correct. They did pick in 16 and 17. Kachuk and Valimaki both were first-round picks. Now, I'm not saying you make a trade for the sake of making a trade, or you just trade your first-round pick for a deal that makes no sense, but should the Flames be open and or eager to move that first-round pick in next month's draft? My belief is yes, they should.
Really?
In fact, my belief is I think this team should be actively shopping number 26 overall. Again, actively shopping doesn't mean you trade it for a pair of used shoes, but
I got some of those.
Yeah, see, I'm not trading
it for
that.
I'll take the first.
I don't need your old Mizuno cleats, but if there's a deal to be made.
Mizuno cleats.
I don't know where that came from.
Those are really old. I think I was 12 when I wore those.
But if there's a deal to be made and it can make your team better in the immediacy, I do not believe that should be off the table by any stretch.
Let's back it up. There are no deals where you move your first and don't make your team better in the immediacy, unless you're dumping a James Neal contract, and I'm not doing that.
No.
But I need to add a all caps, bold, underlined, core player if I'm moving a first rounder. And I don't know that that's necessarily where the market's at, because rewind to the trade deadline and the deal that apparently got really close to getting done was a first and
Frolik
for Jason Zucker, who does not scream core part. Now, not a bad player and some things that you like, but certainly not a, you know, second team all-star. Not a, well, he's the guy that's got to go on the top line. Not a, this displaces a, you know, like, he's not a point per game player. If you're going to move your first, you better be doing better than Jason Zucker.
For me, it's probably part of a package. It's probably part of something that ends up being another Brad Treliving significant draft weekend deal.
Signature summer swing, right?
Like that's what he's done. Four straight years at the draft.
Remind us year by year. Because there was 5 years in a row, but the first one was not the major one. It was the third rounder for Brandon Bolig.
Correct.
But after that, it was 2015 summer is the Dougie Hamilton deal.
Yep. Hamilton for three picks, a first and 2 seconds to Boston. The next year, Brian Elliott for a second and a third. Then Travis Hamonic and a fourth for a first and 2 seconds. And finally, last year, Lindholm and Hanifin straight up for Ferland, Hamilton, and Fox.
Yeah. What you potentially have in a first rounder, it's less about what that player clearly brings you now, but you're talking about if you're comfy with your first round pick, you're going to get a core part there. Now, it's not for now, but I think what they're trying to build here is a sustainable winner, aren't they? Does it feel like they're all in for 2-3 years and then it's like, well, they got to blow this thing up? It doesn't really feel that way to me. They've built a nice little pipeline developmentally. They're doing a really good job. They've, I think, cleaned up things a ton in the draft since the old president's paws got off it a bit, would be my hunch, because they stopped chasing huge humans that weren't that good at hockey.
It started in the first full year that Treliving had. The draft really started to turn around in 2015. And since 15, the last four drafts have been really promising, and not just the higher picks, the way through.
Even if you look at like the last year, they didn't pick ahead of the fourth round, and they're still like, wow, they're going to maybe sign like three or four of these cats. Which
the year that
they traded
away all those picks in 2015, and they still came away with Anderson and Shillington.
Yep. Yeah.
Rasmus Anderson looks like a clear first-round pick right now.
No, you can tell me it's part of a package and whatever, but the point being is if you're going to move a first, I need a core player coming back. And I'm not averse to adding core players, but now what are you adding to sweeten the pot if it's not going to be that first straight up for a core part? Because that this seems expensive.
TJ Brody.
Yeah, and okay. I mean, maybe.
Here's where I am.
I need to know the player coming back. I want to get excited about a player. I don't want a middle six winger that could be an improvement on the guy going back the other way.
Here's where I am when it comes to the first round pick. I believe there are some who look at it as nuts. They've only had two first round picks in the last 4 years. That's an untouchable part.
And never mind the loss of seconds. Like let's
and plenty
that.
Of seconds. Yeah,
there's
right.
not a whole lot different picking 35 from 26.
Well, and that's when I take a look at this year's first round pick. I'm like, okay, the 26th overall. And if we were talking about this being a 14th overall, I'd probably value it a little bit higher. But you're talking about a late first round pick, and I know that you've got some examples of guys who were taken 26 and have turned out to be pretty good.
Kuznetsov, Palfy, and the third I'm thinking of has eluded me. I have to go look it up again. Brain, there's, work!
There's two.
Yeah, there's three of them.
There's 20 years apart for Kuznetsov and Palfy.
Well, there's not many, and that's that. But when you do hit, it's like, oh my gosh. And Shea Theodore, who I think is a real good player
that
hasn't
a good one.
Really arrived in terms of near his ceiling at all, but a guy that Vegas liked enough to extend on, what, a max term or 7-year deal? Like, that, they had a big commitment from their Golden Knights team.
Here's why I think they should eagerly be shopping this in a significant deal that would involve, to your point, a core piece.
Okay.
Because their window's open now. And I think the future is great. I think being able to stockpile players, but they did that. They made their picks, they rebuilt, and they got to a point where they just had the second best regular season in franchise history. And
one of the worst postseasons in franchise history?
Not as bad as the last one. They at least
true. But expectations quite a bit higher.
The expectations were different. But they finally put themselves in a scenario where they're going to be looked at as a big dog, and they finally put themselves in a scenario where they've got elite players, and they've got the potential to make noise in the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying if you just got to go in with the same group and blink your eyes and everything will be different this time around, but they've got players to build around, and their window's open, and their window is more open now than it has been in a long time. These things do not happen all the time. These opportunities and these stretches of time of 2 or 3 or 4 years where you have a legitimate shot to fight for a cup and make a push are few and far between. And especially with this organization, they've been fewer and more far between than other organizations have been. So while that window's open, I say you go for it. And it's why I was in that camp going on into the trade deadline
about
making a big splash.
But why wasn't there more on the table for that first rounder at the deadline? Like, are you actually going to reboot that Zucker deal and do that in June 21?
No, that's not a deal that I'm doing.
But then why were they close to doing it?
Trade deadline's a little bit different than the offseason, too. I think so.
I mean, I think there's more teams involved, but I feel like it's not like you don't get value around. I don't know. I mean, who's to say? Maybe
you pay more for lesser parts of the deadline than you do in the offseason because there's fewer teams involved and teams are focused on taking that step to get over a hump for a 2-month span. Whereas in the offseason, there's far more open negotiations and far
there's more
open
options for teams. Oh, if we don't get this guy, we'll go to free agency. And then there's this. We can move this pick. I mean, I'm with you there. Your hands are much more tied at the deadline. It's your last chance to make moves. You can't go sign a free agent. You can do that if you can't get a deal done the week of the draft. I get that. When I heard that deal, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, you're going to move a potential core part for a middle six winger on a deal that looks okay, like not even a value deal. Like, I think Jason Zucker's probably appropriately compensated, if not a little bit overpaid. It's not like you get, like, if you told me you had, you know, the Hamonic deal, well, we had to pay a little more because look at the cap hit.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, I'll buy into that a bit. So that wasn't the case. And like, Frolik has been worth the money you've paid him. So you're not dumping a bad contract to get Jason Zucker if that was the deal. For a leak, a first for Zucker. It's going to have to be a lot more than that.
And I think it will be. I think I look at Tree Living's track record at the draft, and I would be surprised if the Flames leave Vancouver without having made another similar deal, like the deal they made with Boston or the deal they made with Carolina. Like, I think we're talking about them ready to make another significant deal at the draft. And this year, I think that first round pick, because it's in kind of that no man's land of first round, second round territory, I could absolutely see that being one of the pieces. And if they were to move Brody in a first and get back a core forward, I'd be okay with that, even though they've only picked in the first round the last two of the last 4 years. I'd be perfectly okay with that.
I would be okay with that too. So again, what we'll have to do is really define what a core player is, because I mean, you don't want a fringy guy, right? And I think we all have the same sort of idea. Like, what do you need? You probably need two centers, a couple wingers, and at least 3D, and that would be your core with a goalie, right? Mm. So like, okay. So are they going to add one? Like, do you think they can really go get a top four forward in the organization? Someone better than all but Tkachuk, Gaudreau, and Monahan?
Well, who are some of the forward names that are out there? I don't think Zucker is a player that you would put into that conversation.
Absolutely not. He might be the sixth or seventh best forward on the Flames.
Another name that's been thrown around, what about Nazem Kadri's name? Would he
Huberdeau would he be in that Florida? Huberdeau? Apparently his name was out there.
I'd put Kadri and Huberdeau in that spot.
Kadri's interesting because where do you play him? Third line center? I mean, we're talking about core pieces, and I like the player, but you're putting him way down the depth chart here unless you're putting Backlund or Monahan on the wing or there's another big deal involved. But I certainly think if there's a time that the Leafs will move off Kadri, it's after two consecutive postseasons where he's had really, really silly plays, cost his team big time in series that had the slightest of margins. Mm-hmm. Like, you could argue they're 2-0 against Toronto the last two playoffs with that guy. Because they lost by such narrow margins in each of the two. They had a lead 2 years ago, and they led the series this year, 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2, and found a way to lose. So they also have a cap pinch in Toronto, so I could see that being a player that's available. But I don't know if the third-line center is what's holding the Flames back. I like the player, but now we're talking about moving a whole bunch of other shells, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do something in the draft.
I think this offseason we'll see a change to a core part, but I'd love to see them try to do it without the first round.
But there are some. I mean, I go back to our conversations around the trade deadline, and I'm not saying that you were one of these, but there were some when you read the text line.
I didn't want any part of moving a first. I still don't.
There were some that were adamant. You cannot move this year's first. And well, I wouldn't think say you cannot, absolutely
but
can.
You can't for Zucker. Like that, if that's
no, what that's not what I'm saying.
No, but if that's what the market is at trade deadline, you can't do that.
Although, you know, had they made that deal at the trade deadline, going back to where having no foresight and no knowledge of what was going to happen in the postseason, had they made that move for Zucker, I would have been okay with it at the deadline.
I would not have, because you did not add a core part and you lost a first rounder and you got rid of an effective player, not a poor player. Like, what's the upgrade from Frolik to Zucker?
More offense, significantly more.
And defensively, you might lose a bit. So you're a half tick up, but they're both middle six wingers. That's a huge premium to pay to upgrade your middle six winger.
But it's the premium you pay at the deadline.
Right,
that's why I don't think you do it this
offseason. So if that's what a first gets you at the deadline, I'm in the camp. Do not move your first at the deadline. There's no value there. If all you have to do is wait 3-4 months and you get way more, never use your first at the deadline. Always use it in the summer.
But
if that's how things really work.
The problem is when you're at the deadline and you look at yourself as the top team in the Western Conference at the time, and at the time we didn't think that they were going to go out in 5 games to Colorado. At the time you're in that front office, you're saying, geez, we haven't been in this spot in a long time. Look at us. If we can go add a player to get us one step closer to that, you're a little more willing to pay that first round pick. So at the time, you can understand why a team would be willing to overpay for a part like we see all the time at the deadline.
And yet, if Vegas didn't have to move their first to get Stone. Now, they gave up Brännström, who's, you know, Valimaki plus is kind of the word, how he was regarded in scouting circles, like just a hair better than Valimaki at this point. Mm-hmm. So that's a steep price to pay, but I'm telling you, if we're just talking about long-term building organizations that are competitive, you're looking for market inefficiencies. And what you're explaining to me, if it's true, is there's a massive market inefficiency in the prices of acquiring talent on the deadline versus in the summer. So I just do my work in the summer if that's the case.
Well, and it's, to Brad Treliving's credit, that's mostly where he's done his work. He has done the vast majority of the biggest trades he's made have come, well, has he really made a big in-season trade? I mean, he's been,
he's sold when they weren't good, but those, that's not what we're talking about here. I mean, he moved what, Russell, and was Glenn Cross the deadline?
Glenn Cross was the 15 deadline.
Yeah, and but those are the, that those made sense, even though they made the playoffs the year with Glenn Cross. It was clear he wasn't a fit with the coach. But no, I can't recall of a massive in-season.
He made
swing.
He made the two deals in 17 to bring in Stone and Bartkowski. Those were not big time deals,
and they
though.
Weren't necessarily good ones, were they?
Stone helped,
but and you, Lazar is a second, but boy, I mean that's a huge overpay.
So
that hadn't scored in the league for 2.5 years.
In terms of the significant deals, they've all been made in the offseason. Most of them have been made at the draft.
Do you think they can add a core part without dangling that first last? Just a final thought here.
Yeah, I mean, I think
because the best of both worlds would be that, would it not? Let's package up Brody in another part, and that's how we get a core part rather than lose the first.
And maybe that, who would you have to package with Brody?
A Bennett, a Jankowski, a Monahan, if you were that bold to do that.
Well, and that, if you put Monahan into the conversation, that just changes the whole paradigm of what you might be getting, right? So it's a fascinating conversation.